This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور. فاليوم لا يؤخذ منكم فدية ولا من الذين كفروا، مأواكم النار هي مولاكم وبئس المصير. ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق، ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless you all for continuing to attend the study of the Quran. We ask Allah to give us more tawfiq to study His entire book during our lifetime. Ameen. The conversation continues between the believers and the hypocrites on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the way the surah has explained it is as follows. Allah tells us that on the day of judgment, that all the Muslims as well as the hypocrites will be gathered just before the bridge. And then what will happen is darkness will be cast over everyone. And in that moment of darkness, the believers will be given their individual light. And that individual light will be proportional to the amount of good deeds a person did in this life. And Ibn Mas'ud, he explained that light for some will be as enormous as a mountain, others a date palm tree, and others it will just flicker from in front of their feet. And with that light will they try to cross over the bridge and make their way to paradise. But at that same moment, the hypocrites will not be given any light. Because they refuse to believe in this life, though they ended up so close to paradise, Allah will make them exposed on that day by not giving them any light. When they see they have no light and they see the believers are making their way to paradise in haste, they panic and they start to shout out to the believers, "Unzuruna naqata bismin nurikum." Wait for us, we want to share your light. Help us to also go with you to paradise. Do the believers listen to them? No, they don't. They continue, and angels speak in their place and say, "Qil arji'u wara'akum." No, turn around and go back to the dunya. You have no business going to paradise today. Today you are going to the hellfire. So when they are told that, they don't give up. They continue to pursue the believers, and then فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ, a great wall is erected between them and the believers. The word for wall here is sur. We said a sur is an unscalable wall, the type of wall that is used to protect a city from attack from outside. So they are permanently separated from the believers. Allah says that inside of the wall there is rahmah, meaning paradise is inside. Wa ظَاهِرُهُ, and on the outside of the wall where the hypocrites are, مِنْ قِبِلِهِ الْعَذَى, behind them there is the hellfire. Now if you imagine being there and seeing it from a bird's eye view, that you see these munafiqun, hypocrites, chasing after the believers and then separated by this big wall and then told that they cannot proceed any further. On the inside of the wall, you see the believers in paradise. On the outside, you see the hypocrites and the hellfire. So the hypocrites on the outside and the believers are on the inside. Now, this is actually symbolic, because what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone who lies about being a Muslim. He says I'm a Muslim on the outside, but on the inside, he disbelieves. So on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah says, you used to hide your reality, and now I'm going to expose your reality. You're now on the outside of the wall. Everyone can point and see that you really were a fake person, a hypocrite. As for the believers, they are the ones who are true to me on the inside. So that I have placed them inside the wall today as well. SubhanAllah. Yes. Do they give up? They do not give up. The hypocrites, Allah then says in the verse that we are going to cover today, if it's possible to have the children quiet down a little bit, just getting distracted by the mujahideen in the back there, jazakallah khair. It's good to have the children in the masjid, definitely. Some of the salaf would say, if we don't hear the children playing in the masjid, we know that the future generation is not going to be as good as the present one. Yes. At the same time though, there are some etiquettes in the masjid as well. Okay. The conversation continues. Yunadunahum alam nakum ma'akum. So from behind the wall, they still don't give up. Allah says, Yunadunahum. They call out to the believers. Alam nakum ma'akum. Weren't we with you? Imam al-Tabari says that means they are saying, you know, in the dunya, we used to be together. We used to live together. We used to go to the same masjid together. We even used to marry into each other's families. Man, we were even buried together in the same graveyard. How are you going to leave us today, O believers? We were with you in the dunya. Alam nakum ma'akum. And the word used for call is nida. Yunadunahum. And that is different to the word dua. Dua means to call or to ask. Nada means to cry out, to call out. They're almost like they're throwing their voices over the wall. Please, there's desperation in their call. The believers will respond for the first and last time to the hypocrites and will explain to them that though you were with us in this worldly life, you are not truly with us spiritually. And they will give four reasons why you are on the outside of the wall today. They say, number one, قَالُوا بَلَى. No doubt about it, you're right. We were with each other physically. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Number one reason is that you put your own souls to trial. Number two reason, Allah then says, وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ. That you were people who used to hold back and procrastinate. Number three reason, وَرْتَبَتُمْ. You were people that used to harbor serious doubts. Number four, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي. That you were wrapped up in wishful thinking. After they say that to them, they leave and make their way to paradise, and the hypocrites are left by themselves. Now let's go through this one by one. What was the first reason? What was it? It wasn't procrastination. You put your own souls to trial. The word used is fitna. Fatantum. Fitna means in this context to put something to trial. To put something to the test. What did they put to the test? Their own souls. Meaning that you chose the life of hypocrisy. No one forced it on you. You weren't duped into becoming a double agent. You chose to live as a hypocrite. Don't blame anyone today. You used to mingle with the enemies. You used to give them your ear. And then your heart became inclined towards them. And then you joined their side. Who did all of that? You did it yourself. Yes, you put your own soul to trial, number one. Number two was what? What arabbastu means? To procrastinate, yes. The word irtibas literally means to hold back, yes, or to postpone something. In the context of hypocrisy, it means that you were waiting for the destruction of the Muslims and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, if you were living in Medina at that time, you would find that there were hypocrites there. And the hypocrites, one of the things they were hoping for were that the Quraysh and the Kuffar, they come and destroy the Muslims so that they will gain the power and the prestige in Medina. Yes, so they used to hold back and procrastinate in having true belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hoping that one day, you know what, this man is going to lose it and we will come up on top. Because when the enemies come, we will say, we were with you guys. We never used to help these guys. In fact, we were helping you to take over. So they say to them, this was your second reason, that you were people that used to procrastinate. And in that, there is a lesson for us, that one of the ways people fall into hypocrisy is that they hold back on having true faith in Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They procrastinate. They say, I'm going to start praying tomorrow. I'm going to start making tawbah tomorrow. I'm going to kick out that bad habit from my life, maybe next Ramadan. Not this Ramadan. This is procrastination. And it is a form of hypocrisy. The extreme of it is to hope that, you know what, all of this Islam and the Muslims, they are destroyed and nothing is left of them. And I'm going to hold back until that moment comes so that I can come up on top. وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ. Number three, وَارْتَبَتُمْ. Irtiyab means to have doubts. But the word used here is not shak, it is raib. Have you read in the beginning of the Quran, Allah says, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. Usually translate as there's no doubt in this book. But there's a difference between the word shak and the word raib. Shak means doubt, to be 50-50 on something. Raib means to have a suspicion. Yes, a suspicion. Like for example, you're walking down a dark alleyway in the middle of the night and there's someone wearing a hoodie walking towards you. I don't have anything against hoodies. But in your heart, you start to have some doubt, suspicion. This person's gonna harm me? Or is this person an innocent person? That is what it means. So Allah says that those munafiqun, they used to have suspicions about Islam. They used to be very critical about Islam. And today we find that as well, isn't it? Some people, that they are very critical when it comes to Islamic teachings. For example, some people today, they claim that there is no such thing as a niqab in Islam. It is a cultural practice of the ancient Arabs. Nothing to do with Islam. Islam would never ask a woman to cover like that. Or they criticize the idea of had, the penal law, the punishment of the person who steals, for example, or the person who commits zina. They say that this is not really Islam. Or they mock at the idea that this is part of Islam. You know, I remember that I've come across people, they laugh at the idea that Islam said interest is haram. They said, this is ridiculous. How can civilization prosper if there's no interest? I heard that from the mouth of a Muslim. Yes. So they have serious doubts about Islam. This can't be Islam. Yes. Suspicions. Or suspicions in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was this really a man who was a prophet of God? You know, I remember recently there was on national TV in Egypt, there was an interview. Okay, this is a lady, she's interviewing another lady who is covering her face. Now she's not wearing a niqab, she's covering her face because she doesn't want her identity to be known by the people. And what she wants to say is really strange, because the woman that was interviewing her, she was plastered in makeup wearing no hijab. Yes. So she says, what do you say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She said, what do you say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She's Muslim, the one interviewing. So the lady, she says, I believe that this man Muhammad is a very smart man, very intelligent man, etc., etc. So she says, you don't believe he's a prophet. She says, I believe he's a very smart man, a very intelligent man, he was a very influential man. She says, but don't you believe he was a prophet of God? She says, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Now this woman, she turned against her. And she says, how can you say that? What type of Muslim are you to deny that the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a prophet of Allah? And she started having a go at her live on TV. Yes? I thought, subhan, look at the iman. Iman is there in that woman's heart. It's there. She cannot handle it when a person denies that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a prophet of God. Yes? So the third reason that you are on the other side of the wall, they are saying, is that people used to entertain doubts. Now here somebody may say, I have doubts about Islam sometimes. I do. I have doubts about Islam sometimes. Does that mean I am a hypocrite? See, there is a difference, brothers and sisters. It is possible for a person to experience doubt in their minds sometimes. Yes, like a fleeting thought. But that's different to someone who entertains doubtful thoughts, isn't it? He entertains them. He stirs them around in his mind. He wants to give them life. There's a difference. A person in the first case, he has a doubt, maybe, astaghfirullah, about Allah. Does Allah really exist? It comes into his mind because he's watching secret things on YouTube all the time. So he starts saying, yeah, you may have a point, man. Does Allah really exist, man? He's atheist. You know, they make a good point sometimes. He starts to doubt in his mind. He says, astaghfirullah, I'm a hypocrite. Well, it depends, Habibi. Do you entertain that thought and take it to its nth degree? Or do you disregard it, dismiss it and say, you know what, this is from shaitan. I'm not going to entertain it. The Prophet ﷺ, he himself gave this advice. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I have doubts. Imagine in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, there's no YouTube then, so it can happen anytime. So the Prophet ﷺ explained, I'm paraphrasing, but the Prophet ﷺ explained that shaitan will come to you and make you question everything until he makes you question Allah himself. And when that happens, what should you do? What did he say to do? A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. It's close. He told him to read a surah in the Quran. Not قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Very close though. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله isn't a surah. I don't have to check in the Quran. Suratul Ikhlas. Suratul Ikhlas. He said, when shaitan comes to you and says to you, where were you? Where did you come from? Where did your father come from? Where did Allah come from? At that moment, read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Why? The reason is because the antidote to doubt of that nature is to dismiss the doubt, not to entertain the doubt. And the way you dismiss it is by reaffirming your belief. Qul, say, he is Allah, the uniquely one. The one who needs no one and everyone needs him. Yes. So this is the difference. A person may have some doubts that come into their mind sometimes. It's not a big deal. I'm telling you myself, it's not a big deal. The problem is when you entertain those doubts. Does that make sense? That's the third thing. The last thing, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي. You used to have Amani. Amani is the plural of the word umniya. Umniya means to have wishful thinking. Yes, wishful thinking. You know what wishful thinking means? It means when you hope that something happens, but that thing can never happen. Okay? So a brother says, I said to a brother, you know, what's your aspirations in life? He says, I want to win the Nobel Peace Prize for innovation in chemistry. I say, MashaAllah. That's really good. And by the way, what are you studying at the moment? He says, no, I'm not studying anything. I dropped out of school. Seriously, how are you going to become Nobel Peace Prize, you know, of chemistry when you only have a GCSE in chemistry? Yes, this is wishful thinking. Allah said the munafiqun used to have wishful thinking. Now the question is, what were they thinking about? The mufassirun, they said, their wishful thinking was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be killed and Islam will not be dominant. Now the beautiful reverse implication of that is that that was wishful thinking. The reality is that Islam would always be dominant. Islam would conquer all and Islam would be supreme, subhanAllah. So another lesson, brothers and sisters, that when you watch the news of the Muslim world, it is very depressing, very hurtful, makes you very upset. But you should not go to the extreme where you think this means the end of Islam. This means that Islam will never be prosperous. No doubt the situation is bleak, but we have been promised وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that in the end, Allah said in the Quran, the victory is for those who are mindful of Allah. That is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So though you can get upset, and though you may cry, never become like the hypocrites who think Islam is not going to succeed. Just realize that Islam is going through a difficult time. And even if you think about it on a historical level, Islam has been in this world from the time of the Prophet until today, which is 1439 years. 1439 years. Of those 1439 years, 1200 were with Islam as the superpower of the world. Did you know that? 1200 out of 1400. The overwhelming majority of Muslim history has been one of success and supremacy. Only today are we going through that lull and that dip. Soon, inshallah, we'll return back to its high and remain like that until Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is the promise of Allah. Yes? Do not be so depressed about this. Allah will give us victory in due time. So Allah said that they said to the munafiqun, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي, that you were deceived by your wishful thinking. The reality was that what you hoped for was never going to happen. حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, until the Amr of Allah came. The Amr literally means the affair or matter of Allah comes. That is the point until, that is, you will keep on being like this until this happens. What is the Amr of Allah here? Ibn Juzay said it can mean two things. First is until Islam becomes prosperous, i.e. Fathul Makkah. When the conquest of Makkah took place, then they realized that Islam truly is here to stay forever. But the other opinion is more interesting, that they will continue to live as hypocrites until death comes to them. When Malakul Maut turns up on the doorstep and takes their soul from their bodies, and the curtain is lifted, then they will realize that, man, I was a bad hypocrite all my life. And that teaches us a lesson, that munafiqun, they are deluded people. If you approach them and say to them, why are you living like a hypocrite? Don't live like this. They will say, what do you mean living like a bad person? I'm a good person. What do you mean I'm with the enemies? I'm not with the enemies. I'm trying to help the Muslims by being with the enemies. Have you heard this? Yes. People that work for the government, okay, on a particular policy that has been shown through studies to be of detriment to the Muslim community. You are working on that policy? You are working on that agenda? How do you justify that? No, no, we are working within the ranks in order to make things better for the Muslims. Seriously, you are deluded, man. You are deluded. And by the way, it's not for the money, is it? That never entered your mind at any stage. See, Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. Isn't it? When they are told, don't be mischievous in the world, they say, what are you talking about mischievous? Man, we're righteous people. I'm to nek admiya. We're here to do the right thing. You're the people that are doing silly things. Allah says, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They don't perceive it. They don't realize it. They are deluded. Until death comes to them. Then that delusion melts away and they see the reality. But then it is too late. جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ. The last word of the believers to the munafiqun is that shaytan, he deluded you. Now they don't say shaytan, they say al-gharur. Yes? The word al-gharur is the person who takes advantage of other people. Because ghurur is the idea of convincing someone that something harmful is actually something good. Yes? So you know, like subhanAllah, these evil people that engage in human trafficking. They call people from third world countries, young people, to come and live a life in the UK. Because you'll be successful and prosperous. But when they come to the shores, they enslave them and make them do horrible things. You've heard about this, right? Human trafficking. They are engaging in gharur, or ghurur rather. And they are people who are taking advantage of others. The believers, they refer to shaitan as that person. Because shaitan, he makes bad things seem good to you. So you end up doing them. You know, subhanAllah, there was, I remember in the papers, there this man who sold his story to the Daily Mail, or the Daily Fail, as they like to say. And his story is that I used to work for the MI5. And my job was, he said, I used to work in Luton, of all places. Yes, and my job was to go into the mosques, sit with the people, and try and find something that can be used against the speaker. Yes. Then what happened is they sent me to Yemen to infiltrate Al-Qaeda. Yes. So he said, a very dangerous mission. They promised me £10,000. So I went to Yemen. And I infiltrated, this is his word, I don't know how much you can believe his word. But he infiltrated, he said, the ranks of Al-Qaeda, and he was there with the senior people. And he got some information from them, and then he came back to the UK. He said, I went to MI5, I told them what I had. They took my information and they did refuse to pay me the £10,000. Then I told them, I'm going to go to the papers. They didn't believe me, and here I am now. Daily Mail, take my story. Yes? And this is the life of a hypocrite. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, مُذَبَذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَى هَؤُلَى وَلَا إِلَى هَؤُلَى. Listen to this. Allah says, they dither between this and that. Neither are they with them, nor are they with these people. Yes? They're not here, nor they are they there. They're just seeing where the interest lies. If it's here, I'll be with them. If it's here, I'll be with them. See, this is wishful thinking. This is deception. Who is deceiving them? As Shaytan is deceiving them. The next verse. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدْيَةٌ وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Then the conversation is concluded by Allah. Allah speaks to the hypocrites and says, today no ransom will be taken from you, nor from those who disbelieved. Notice how Allah, He lumped them together with the kuffar. وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Why? Because the reality is that the hypocrites are disbelievers, except that they lie about it. So on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will bring the hypocrites alongside the disbelievers and address them as one and punish them as one as well. Why? In order to show everybody else that though they seem to be Muslim in this life, in reality they were disbelievers. But secondly also, to teach the munafiqun that don't think you're going to get any special treatment today. You are going to be treated just like the munafiqun, just like the kuffar are going to be treated. The same punishment. In fact, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. No doubt about it, the hypocrites are going to be in the lowest pits of the hellfire. That they will get a punishment even worse than the disbelievers. May Allah protect and preserve us all from hypocrisy. Ameen. So Allah says to them that no fidya will be accepted from you. No ransom. This idea of giving, not accepting ransom on Yawm al-Qiyamah is always mentioned in the Quran. What does it mean? See, when a person reaches a point of desperation, he is willing to give anything to avoid the punishment. You know, I only truly appreciate the meaning of this when something happened to me in my own life. Not too long ago, my youngest daughter, okay, she became very ill. And we had to take her to the hospital a number of times. We took her three times. The fourth time we took her, she had some problems with breathing. She's only about 1 year old at that time. When he took her to the hospital the fourth time, I remember that things escalated very quickly. And the doctors gave her the first round of medication, didn't work. Then the second round of medication didn't work. Then they put her on IV treatment, okay? There were all these wires going into her veins and she was being pumped, lots of drugs. And then all these other doctors came onto the scene. I remember I was right there looking over her. And I could tell by the way they were panicking that my daughter may be slipping away from me. And in that moment, I remember falling to the ground on my knees. And I called out to Allah like never before. And I said to Allah, every good thing I have in my life, Allah, I wish I could sacrifice it now just so you can keep it with me. I remember saying that to Allah. And after that, I read these verses and I appreciated what they meant. That the munafiqun and the kuffar, when they realize where they are going and the pain that they will suffer, they will be willing to give anything away. Allah, take anything and everything. My child, my mother, every wealth I had, take it all, Allah. Just save me from this. So when Allah says, يَوْمَ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدْيَةٌ, no ransom is going to be taken, it shows the desperation in the minds of the munafiqun and the kuffar. they have reached the point of total desperation. Allah says, you have no hopes. There's no turning back the clock. There is no repealing this punishment. It's going to happen. And then Allah says something very scary. He says, مَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ. Your ma'wa is the fire. The word ma'wa means the place that you return to. The place that you're going to return to now is nothing but the fire. هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. This is the scary part. Allah says the fire, it is going to be your mawla. What does mawla mean? Mawla means your protective friend. Your protective friend. How can the fire be your friend? Allah is turning the word on its head and saying, the only friend you're going to have today is the fire itself. And just like a friend never leaves your side, so too will the fire never leave your side. نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. May Allah protect us. Look at these words. هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. That is going to be your protective friend on that day. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. To summarize everything, Allah said, what a horrible masir. The masir is your final destination. The place that you are going to stay for an eternity, what a horrible place that is. Some of the scholars, they said, this is the only place in the Quran where Allah refers to the fire as being the mawla. And Allah reserved this label for the worst of people, the munafiqun as well. And also the scholars said, there is a distinction here. Allah first spoke about the place, and then Allah spoke about the company. When Allah said, يَوْمَ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدْيَةٌ وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا مَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ. Your place is going to be the fire. This is your place. And then, هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. Your company is going to be the fire as well. They said that, look, the place and the company is brought together because sometimes a person can go to a horrible place, but he can find good company. And sometimes a person can go to a very nice place, but find horrible company. Allah said, the hellfire is not only a terrible place, but it also has terrible company as well, subhanAllah. Totally diminishing any hope that these people may have. Some of the lessons we learned from these two verses, and I'll finish with this. Number one lesson, brothers and sisters, that hypocrisy, Allah punishes hypocrisy like He doesn't punish anything else. The punishment reserved for hypocrisy is very severe. Therefore, every Muslim, every person listening to this, needs to be concerned with their heart. What level of hypocrisy is in my heart? How much of hypocrisy is in my heart? There is a saying amongst the Salaf that the only person who thinks himself free from hypocrisy is a hypocrite himself. Yes. If you think to yourself, man, I'm not a hypocrite, nor do I have any shade of hypocrisy, that is a sign that you are suffering from hypocrisy. And there is a dua I want to teach you. Okay, very simple dua. Read it, inshallah, in your prayers. Allah will free you from hypocrisy. The dua is, Allahumma tahhir qulubana. Allahumma tahhir qulubana minan nifaq. Allahumma tahhir qulubana minan nifaq means, oh Allah, purify our hearts from nifaq. This is one thing. Second lesson we learn from this is that hypocrisy can be very subtle. You may not know that someone is a hypocrite. What is the proof of that? Is in the statement where they say, أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعْكُمْ. Weren't we with you? Now think about that. Part of the meaning was, didn't we marry into each other's families? Now, would anyone want to marry their daughter to a hypocrite? No. No one would. Unless, of course, you didn't know they were hypocrites. See, this verse is teaching us that hypocrisy can be very subtle. You may not notice it. And I told you last time that two prophets of Allah, their wives became hypocrites. Do you remember who they were? Who were they? Remind me. Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam. I mean, a prophet of Allah who received revelation from Allah, even he didn't realize what was in the wife of his heart. It was in the heart of his wife. Yes. So hypocrisy can be very, very subtle. And that is why it is also very dangerous as well, because that is subtle. I want to mention one point about Nuh alayhi salam. Very beautiful reflection. Nuh alayhi salam, he is the first messenger. meaning the first Rasul. Adam alayhi salam was a Nabi, but Nuh alayhi salam was a Rasul. The first Rasul. How long did he live for? 1,000 years. 1,000 years, the Quran says. For 950 of the 1,000 years, he was calling people to Islam. And for 950 years, he was being abused, rejected. Abused and rejected. Now the thing is, usually when you go through a difficult time, you think about people that went through something similar and you find strength in that, isn't it? The thing about Nuh alayhi salam is he had no one to fall back on. He was the first messenger. It's not like he could say to himself, yeah, but so-and-so went through the same problems. He didn't have that in his mind to say there is someone who came before, who went through this, and he remained devout. Like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could find strength in all of the prophets that came before him. Yes? But Nuh had no one. And despite that, he had such patience and determination. What an incredible man he was. Despite his formidable character, his own wife was a munafiq. Makes you think, isn't it? Really does make you think. The last lesson we learn from these verses, brothers and sisters, is that from the signs of hypocrisy is to be a person who engages in procrastination. Procrastination is something that can lead you to hypocrisy. Therefore, never ever tell yourself, I will do this good deed tomorrow. Rather be someone who always says, I'm going to do this good deed today. Yes? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that one of the worst punishments a person can be given is that he is left to do his sin. In the hadith, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ أَشَّرٍ. If Allah wants evil for a slave, أَمْسَكَ عَنْهُ ذَنْبَهُ, he lets him continue do his sin. حَتَّى يُوَافِيَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, until he is raised up with that sin on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Yes? That this is from the punishment of Allah. Therefore, we should make dua to Allah that whatever mistakes we are making in our life, small or big, Allah show it to us now. Don't let us continue doing it like the munafiqoon, and let us have the tawfiq to change our ways. Allahumma ameen. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Anyone has any questions?